Now, when we encounter behavior that targets someone for their race, religion, or sexuality, whether it's outright harassment in public or an offensive joke at a family get-together, knowing when and how to intervene can be difficult. Should we just let certain comments go? How do we step in without risking a dangerous confrontation? This Friday, Lawrence University in Appleton is hosting a free workshop open to the public that will help people navigate some of those difficult situations. Kimberly Barrett is Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion and Associate Dean of Faculty at Lawrence University. Kimberly, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you.
Well, this training focuses on the bystander in different kinds of incidents. Why is it important to focus on that role of maybe that third party in a racist incident?
Well, you know, most of us want to be the person who's doing the right thing. You know, although we hear a lot about increased hate crimes and that kind of stuff, the things that happen every day are usually more subtle. And, you know, it really would be helpful to reduce prejudice in general if we were able to confront that prejudice on an individual basis.
A lot of people might have been in a situation where, in hindsight, they think back and think, oh, I could have handled that differently. Should I have done something? What should I have done? What kind of training will be given on Friday to help people have a, I guess, toolkit before the incident happens?
Well, we'll take some real-life situations and sort of guide people through different alternatives for dealing with them. And actually, Fit Oshkosh will be doing the training, an organization outside the university, but we bring them in several times a year. And actually, we also have some of our own student leaders and others who do additional training on this.
And is this something you're focusing on in particular there at Lawrence University?
Well, I think that it's one of the many things that we do to try to make our campus more inclusive. You know, there are things, you know, we hear a lot about Title IX, we hear a lot about non-discrimination, but many times the kind of bias that can really impact somebody's ability to learn or to do their job well are everyday things that happen. And so we want to give people, as you said, the tools to be able to respond to these things in ways that really empower everyone in our community to make a difference.
Talking to Kimberly Barrett, Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion and Associate Dean of Faculty at Lawrence University, about a training there in Appleton, helping bystanders intervene safely and effectively when they see different kinds of racist incidents. And Kimberly, I want to throw out some different scenarios here and get your thoughts. Obviously, you'll go into more depth at these trainings. But let's take if we see in public just an outright somebody harassing someone else based on, say, a racial difference. What kind of things can we think about so that everybody stays safe, but we can say something?
Well, I think that there are a number of ways that you can intervene. I think doing something is better than nothing. Even if you think it's awkward, even if what you do is try to deflect the situation with a joke or intervene by asking someone for directions or the time, doing anything to stop it is better than just watching it happen. If it's a situation where you don't think it's safe to interject yourself, then you should call the authorities, you should call the police.
And there can be a situation, and I think people have maybe observed this, where something like this is going on, and there are multiple thinking, should I do something? How can someone take that first step and maybe encourage others to join in as well?
Well, like anything, you know, practice makes perfect. You know, it's always hard to start doing something you've never done before. And so I would say, you know, go to a training or even just, you know, there's lots of information online. I think just come up with a couple of things that you could say in a situation where, let's say, a family member is making an inappropriate joke or someone is doing something that you think really is an example of bias, and have a couple of phrases, just interrupting it by saying, well, I never thought about it like that. Here's how I see this. Or, you know, I know that you didn't mean to do this, but this is, you know, how I heard it, or this is how it may affect some people. So it doesn't have to be hitting somebody over the head, you know, with a bag of bricks or anything. It can be just subtle to make people pause for a minute and think about what they're saying. Because most of us are not intentionally harassing people. Now, when it's intentional, then you might need to either do a group intervention or, as I said earlier, call the police.
Yeah, let's talk about that situation you were just alluding to there. It's not, you know, a dangerous, hostile situation. It may be something that someone says who we otherwise, you know, respect, maybe love, someone who's close to us. Can you talk a little more about how to raise, I think, what a lot of people find a difficult issue of, hey, this might be a racist thing. How do we tackle that?
Well, it's always less threatening if you begin with I statements. You shouldn't make assumptions about what the person's motives are because, you know, we really can't read anybody else's mind. So start with an I statement, and you might start by just talking about how it makes you feel. You know, I feel this way when you say or do this thing. Please don't do this anymore. Or you could just stop with the, this is how this makes me feel. I think, you know, publicly supporting the person who is sort of the target of the joke, if there's somebody in the room, in the vicinity, who's the target, so publicly sort of supporting them. I think just interrupting the behavior in any way that you can. I think it's important to intervene in ways that are, what I like to say, calling people in rather than calling them out. We've all heard that phrase that you, get more bees with honey, right? You earn more by asking people to be part of the solution rather than making them feel like they're less than because of a mistake they made.
There's a temptation, I assume, for a lot of people to just let something go. Oh, that's just so-and-so, or, oh, they're never going to change. It's not worth the potential confrontation. What would you say to people in that situation?
Well, the research bears out that it really does change prejudice behavior if you call somebody on it. And it doesn't have to be calling them out in a, you know, some embarrassing way, just telling them about it. Sometimes you could call them aside after the event and say, look, I know you didn't intend this, but let's think about what you were saying here and the impact it may have. Also, it makes you feel better. You know, when you confront the, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, when you confront the behavior, you then don't have to go back and think, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have done this or that in the moment. If you go ahead and confront, even if it's awkward, you'll feel better and you'll decrease the likelihood that that person will engage in prejudice in the future. Also, when you don't intervene, then you think that it's wrong, you experience what we call cognitive dissonance. And so then you begin to justify the behavior of the other person and, you know, to justify why you didn't intervene. And so it really helps you if you act in ways that are consistent with this sort of belief that you're not prejudiced and that bias is wrong. It helps you be a better person. And really, we think about this as being very hard. It's easier than you think. It doesn't take a lot of special expertise, but it does take a little thought ahead of time as to, you know, how you might get somebody to pause, think, or how you might remove somebody who's a target from that situation safely. So having a few ideas in mind really helps. And, you know, as I said, it can be something as easy as, wow, I never thought about it that like that. Or, what did you mean? Did you mean to say, you know, this thing? So just some questions. It doesn't have to be a statement calling someone racist or homophobic. It could just be some questioning so that they stop and think about what they're saying.
For people who aren't on the receiving end of racism, it can feel, I think, a lot easier to not talk about it than to talk about it. What would you say to encourage people to make that advanced preparation like you've been talking about and be ready for that situation?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if we don't intervene, if we are passive bystanders, then we are really just promoting the transmission of bias in our society. We're promoting racism, we're promoting sexism, we're promoting, religious intolerance, all of that when we don't say anything. Silence really is complicity.
Kimberly Barrett is with us, Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion at Lawrence University in Appleton. We're talking with her about how to intervene in situations where we see a racial harassment or offensive jokes and comments. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have there been situations where you've stepped in to try to stop harassment or call out racist comments? Were there times where, in hindsight, you wish you could have done something but didn't know what to say or do? How do you handle those uncomfortable moments and conversations about race? And do you have a question for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Kimberly Barrett, Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion at Lawrence University, about when and how to interrupt racist behavior. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever stepped in to stop someone harassing others because of their race, religion, or sexuality? What happens when somebody makes a comment that you think is kind of crossing a line? Do you say something? Do you regret not saying something later? How do you handle that? And do you have questions for our guest about how to handle these situations? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls. We have Elizabeth on the line with us in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had a situation in December where I was with family, having a lovely family gathering, and they started talking about people at their work that were from Mexico and how their lunches smelled. And that just disturbed me. And I just finally said, you know what? Don't you have lunches that also smell? Food smells. I don't understand why you're saying that. So that was just one of many different types of situations that I've encountered within my own family.
And Elizabeth, before we let you go, how did people react, if I can ask?
Actually, they didn't say much after that. I think they were pretty surprised that I would call them on that one. So I was happy about that.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call. Kimberly, your thoughts. It might sound to people like a small thing, but Elizabeth spoke up there.
I know. I want to say thank you, Elizabeth, because that really makes people think about what they're saying and the impact. And when you don't say anything, they just assume that you think and feel the same way. And so just introducing an alternative way of thinking about it, I think, makes people stop and have a better understanding of the impact of what they're saying.
Thanks a lot for the call, and we'll go now to Martha in Menominee. Martha, hello.
Oh, good afternoon. This is a great topic. You know, my perspective is I was just raised that if you don't call out racism when you see it, you're complicit. So I do it all the time. I have all my life, and it does get easier. So for those people that are a little backed off about saying something, you'll get your spiel down after a few practice tries, and it does get easier. And if you use humor, that always helps.
Martha, so you go with more honey than vinegar, as Kimberly was saying earlier?
And I go with, I feign surprise and shock. I pretend to be, really? You voted for Trump? I didn't know you were racist. And then we get into a discussion from there.
Martha, thanks for the call. Kimberly, your thoughts on what Martha had to say?
Well, I think using humor, and I think Martha went a bit towards sarcasm, but using humor can be a very effective way to, again, sort of get people to think about what they're saying and to interrupt sort of biased statements. And so you have to be kind of careful with humor, though. You don't want it to trivialize the situation, but I think it can be a very effective tool.
And it sounded from Martha's comment that she made there, like she might be a little confrontational sometimes from the one example she gave.
Well, and it really depends on the relationship you have with the person, the relationship you want to have with them after the encounter, and how well you know them. I mean, if it's somebody that's close, that you have a very good relationship with, that you can just be very frank with, then, you know, go at it. If it's somebody that you don't know so well, or somebody that you are getting to know or in the workplace and want to continue to have a good relationship, you might want to be less confrontational.
Thanks for the call. We'll go now to Stephanie with us in Madison. Stephanie, hello.
Hi. So I've had friends and some close family members make some racist comments, and I've tried to confront them, you know, just saying, I wish you wouldn't say stuff like that, and, you know, kind of the, come on, what are you doing? And sometimes they get the response of, you know, how do you think you have the right? Or they make me seem kind of that holier than thou, and how do I get why do I think I have the right to confront them about that? So I'm wondering, how can I respond when that's the response I get?
Well, I think one thing is to acknowledge that they're right. We all have learned racist ideas in our society. We've all learned all the isms. And so once we're aware of that, then we need to try to unlearn those, and that's what you're doing. So I think share with them, yes, I mean, sort of lean into that and explain that it is pervasive. And not only do you think that they're engaged in that behavior now, but yeah, sometimes you do as well, but you're working on it and you'd like them to work on it as well.
Thanks for the call, Stephanie. We are talking to Kimberly Barrett from Lawrence University, talking about intervening when we see a racist harassment or racist language in our lives, what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Before we go back to our callers, Kimberly, thoughts for people who are maybe in charge of an organization, say a business owner or manager. What can they think about to set up a workplace culture where maybe you don't even need to intervene?
Well, I think you definitely have to set the expectations in terms of having policies, accessible ways that people can, you know, make complaints, have training for supervisors. That's probably the most important thing you can do in creating an inclusive workplace and promoting non-discrimination. And so I think, you know, training in the workplace is important, and just having it as part of your company values that people hear over and over again, and that then your behavior follows that.
Let's go back to our callers now. Ben is with us in Lodi. Ben, hi.
Hi. Thanks for doing this topic. I have one question. Sometimes people belonging to a certain group use self-deprecating humor. In other words, they talk about themselves and others belonging to their affinity group in stereotypical ways, kind of poking fun at themselves. How is a bystander to react to that?
Well, you really have to look at sort of the power differentials and whether you're part of that group, that marginalized group that is using self-deprecating humor. Most of the time, I would say steer clear of that. I don't think that that is really that's a whole different issue, and I think that it will be more detrimental to think about that in the same way. I think if you're a member of the in-group who's doing that and you think that it's problematic, then you should say something, and then you can have a conversation. But if you're not a member of that group, I would say it wouldn't be very helpful to intervene in that way.
Ben, thanks for the call. Time for one more caller. Jane is with us in Madison. Jane, hello.
Hi, how are you? I am calling from Madison. I actually wanted to just tell a little story about when I was in class at UW-Madison. One of my lecturers made a comment about how the U.S. government was well-meaning in their their institutionalization of Native American children, and I, you know, raised my hand and I said, you know, I don't think there was really anything well-meaning. I think it was more of an issue of cultural genocide, and she ended up kind of taking a step back and ended up emailing the class about, you know, how she was sorry, and she, you know, extrapolated on the issues with that sort of language. So I think it could be more beneficial for even just the person you're speaking to, but all the people who are listening as well.
Jane, yeah. Thanks for the call. Kimberly, when there's that power differential, a student, professor, employee, and boss, that kind of thing, how can people handle that?
Well, I think that the caller was very brave and very appropriate in an educational institution to bring up a different view. And then the faculty member, it sounds like, acted appropriately, reacted appropriately as well, and sort of brought in a bigger conversation about the complexity of, you know, the experience of, you know, Native Americans, indigenous people in the United States and actually around the world. And so I think that, it again, this is just an example of why it's important to be willing to speak up. There could be personal cost when there are power differentials, so you really have to think about how to do that. Sometimes you might not want to do it in the moment. You might wait until after class, go to the, you know, office hours and say, you know, have you thought about this? And have that discussion. Again, you have to sort of look at, so what's the most effective way to do this and when? And so it you know, this was worked out really well. Depending on personality, you might want to take a different approach. But I think in any case, you should bring these issues up.
Kimberly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's Kimberly Barrett, Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion and the Associate Dean of Faculty at Lawrence University. She joins us to talk about interrupting racist behavior. Lawrence University is hosting a free Bystander Upstander workshop on their campus in Appleton this Friday. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll look at the governor's budget plans for health care in Wisconsin with the new Secretary of the State's Health Services Department. And greeting card sales are down in the United States. We'll find out what's behind that trend and ask if you still send cards. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.